Right, who's going first on the prediction? Will Darryl Powell see out the season, and what position will we finish, Sam? Come on.
Sam, come on, Sam.
Yes, he will. We will be vastly improved. We will be a competitive fourth. And by that, I mean we'll be close to Wigan, Saints and Leeds. But we will get to the grand final and lose again.
Well, I'm not sure I'm in agreement with Sam, Dennis. Although he is our statistician, so what do you think?
Let's be honest. Yeah, I don't think he's really got the changing room. I think, you know, he's pretty much... I can't see him getting that back, if I'm honest.
I don't think he's got the dressing room anymore.
No, I just don't think he can ever win that back. Mm. And I think really, you know, I think it's time to sort of say you had your go.
Yeah.
But that was too much of a disaster. I wouldn't even give him another contract, if I'm honest.
Well, I think we'll start well. I just got this funny feeling, you know, dry track. We have got a few props this year. I mean, you know, God help us if McKayley leaves. But if he stays, I think we'll go on a run of about 8 victories before it starts to slide. I really think we could start the season almost in a sort of, a sense that everything's great, but then it'll all slide away.
Yeah. Well, I've got a feeling that's probably what's going to happen. It's going to be like a false positive. We're going to win about 8 or 9 games, and then all of a sudden wonder why he's, you know, what he's going to do to fix it when we lose a few, you know.
I don't think they've upgraded the bungalow, and I really don't think they've looked at this. And I wouldn't want to be putting my key in the door at that bungalow every week. I just think if he goes, then we will slide. Looking down through the fixtures, are there any there that you think? I mean, you get to around about round 20 away at Wakefield.
Yeah,
I mean, it's always normally kind of Yorkshire where.
It's always a shitty club as well, isn't it? That like the nail in the coffin for the coach, I think.
Yeah. So go to Wakefield. They've given up playing for him. That'll be it.
Yeah.
Something like that. So he won't see out the season.
No.
I think we'll finish. Where do you think we'll finish?
I don't know.
I think we might crawl into sixth. Just. But we'll lose in an eliminator away at somewhere like St. Helens, I would think. Something like that.
Quite a pessimistic outcome,
isn't it? I know. Challenge Cup, any hope there?
No. As soon as we meet one of the big guns, we'll be fucking out. And, it, we might put up a good fight, but...
Yeah, lose to Wigan away or something like that.
Yeah. I see, what we need, really, to start thinking about is getting, like, a young coach in, someone who's played in the NRL, someone who's, like, maybe not had a chance to coach, but has been in the coaching staff. Mm. And just try something... completely brand new. I mean, you're the man on the stop.
I guess you wouldn't do that, would you? But I mean, what? I guess there's Sam Burgess.
Fucking hell. Hey, tell you what, you wanna why don't you send an email to Stuart Middleton and
I'll send it now. Yeah. Anyway, I'm sure Sam will be right. Welcome back to What Would Brian Bevan Say? I'm Rob London, returning to you as your podcasting Jedi. So talking of Jedis, where are my two lightsaber podcasters? Firstly, he's as old as Yoda and festooned no doubt in a swamp of statistics. It's Sam Sankey.
Hello.
Woo! Yeah, come on. Woo! Positive.
And also, coming to you from the dark side. No, it's not Darth Vader. He's just out of condition. It's a heavy breathing Dennis Waywell.
Hello.
Woo!
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, it's like Steve Wright in the afternoon, this, isn't it?
Yes, that's exactly the vibe we need this year with this Burgess-itis going on. It's all about positivity this year. I'm on the edge of my seat waiting to do this. How are we, boys? Are we all good?
All right.
Ooh, we're alive. We've survived another winter.
Yeah, that's true. And Sam, you've packed your case. You're coming out to see me next week.
I'm coming out to see you. Although,
are we going to do a live podcast? The two of us in the same room together. Is that possible?
We could do one of those video talk-alongs in at the game next week.
Interesting. Have you noticed every year we do this podcast, there's a longer delay between words as our memories don't work? You notice that? We were quite sharp in season one.
Yeah. Is it fatigue? Jesus. Podcast fatigue?
We said we'd do this until we actually won the Premiership. So, yeah,
no. Woo! Come on! Come on! Is this the last year then?
Yeah. Really okay. Positive.
Right.
Right, well, we crack on then, because I've just looked at the script, and I think you should be done, boys, for about 2 a.m. So what time is it over there now? 10 past 8, Friday night?
At least two toilet breaks in this tonight, if that's all right.
Jesus. I'm on a diet, so I'm on edge, if I'm honest. Mm. Not feeling the best. It's very hot here. Been very humid. Very humid, Sam. So pack wisely. When you come over, pack wisely. Lots of open-ended shoes.
I certainly won't be packing any shirts that I can't do up because I'm too fat.
Just a quick podcasting tip here. Could the host not speak into his cup? Because that whatever you said tailed away. What's said in the cup stays in the cup.
I think this year has already started off with sort of that blasé attitude that we're just not sure what to expect. Have you noticed? We're all quite laid back.
Yeah.
We're all excited, but we're also all quite, you know.
Has anybody got any expectations then?
No.
I mean,
no,
I'm going in too early all. There.
No. Woo! Positivity, that's my expectation. Sam's positive vibes worn off on me a little bit. He sent quite a few WhatsApp messages during the close season. He's really got on board with Sam Burgess, hasn't he? You can tell.
Yeah.
And he's changed his name on the screen to the original Sam. Have you noticed that? That's what he's done. So, excellent. We should have some news.
Why not?
Before that, John Craven's News Round.
Tackling above the armpit will be outlawed at all levels of rugby league in England from 2025 to reduce the risk of head contact. The recommendation was made by the Sports Brain and Health Clinically Advisory Group. It's last year, isn't it, really? This is it.
This is it.
This is it.
The final year.
Final year.
I'm going to open this up. Almighty. Someone's final Jesus. Year anyway. I'm going to open this up with just a bit of analysis that I've been thinking about, because I'm quite a tall chap, and I was thinking about this armpit thing, and I measured myself, and I worked out where my armpit height is, and I thought, right, okay, work that out. And roughly, your armpit's about 25% down from the top of your head, roughly. Right. So if you look at the average male in the UK, who's about your size, Mr. London, 5'9", or 175 centimetres, that means your armpit is at 131 centimetres, 4'4". Now, that might not be a problem for some, but...
Leon Hayes.
I'm just starting to think about it. So I'm looking at now the shortest players... in the league, usually about 5'5", so Andy Gregory, Alfie Langer, Leon Hayes is 5'5", and their armpits are at 123 centimetres, which is about 4 foot. Now, I tried to take a stance of a tackle, being a tall chap.
How's your back?
It just about held up. You know, the pot belly just supported on its knees, but I bent over. And I sort of got in eye line and I thought, where am I now if I'm tackling somebody who's 5'5"? And my eye line was just in the armpit. Now, I think that's going to be a problem, because players that are taller than me are going to struggle to get down there. That's my analysis.
It was very positive as far as it went. So,
how long did that last? About 6 minutes. Well done. Excellent.
Well,
should we sign off?
I'm just thinking. We'll get into the penalty thing in a minute. But when you think about the way that the rugby game is played and the types of players, are we going to see big value associated with small players? And are we going to see the end of tall players?
Yes. Yeah.
It's like nature, right, isn't it? It's just going to...
Well, I'm not watching next year anyway, so don't care.
I'm not. This is my last year. I'm not doing this.
We did put a poll out in terms of, are people going to carry on watching or are they going to find a new sport? 52% said they would carry on watching. 47.3% said it's time to find a new sport. So, Sam, how are you going to be? Are you going to buy a season ticket to watch this waist tackling game that's about? Didn't they try it in rugby union and give up on it?
No, well, I actually don't think it's as big a problem as everybody's saying.
Balance.
Yet. Like that. Well, to be fair, although exaggerated, Dennis has got a point. If you are 6'4" trying to tackle a 5'8" player, say, you are disadvantaged. But
when
I think
they start ducking as well.
Yeah, I think it's possibly more a a PR exercise here, because tackling at the armpit does sound a bit stupid, doesn't it? It just doesn't sound right. Whereas below the shoulder, because that's below the shoulder and or across the chest.
Yeah, but what if you've got slopey shoulders, Sam?
Across the chest doesn't sound like a problem.
What happens if you're glancing small?
Well, you've no neck, so you should never have a high tackle unless you're actually taking him out on his nose.
So what you're trying to get to is...
Hell, this is the first point of about 700 things on the script. Jesus.
Oh, we've got a long way to go on this.
I think it will... I know why the Rugby League are trying to do it, and Rugby Union. I know why.
Why hasn't boxing done it? How does boxing get away with it?
Well, it's surely going to be outlawed in all but one or two specific states, boxing, you would think. That's a natural progression, isn't it?
Right.
Too much money in it, isn't there?
Let's get the mechanics of like tackling out the way, and let's say, okay, the game's moved on, and that's where we're at. But how is this going to be refereed? I mean, this is the thing that is going to change the game, because just watch a game and just watch it through the lens of tackling in the armpit and look at some of the tackling that goes on. A game last year, games this year, I expect. And you would just be thinking, well, that'll be banned next year. That'll be sent off. That'll be a penalty. It's going to be an absolute cluster.
Or you'll have one referee going, oh, that's okay. Next referee, oh no, that's a penalty. Next tackle, oh, that's
and they've already got a hard enough job, haven't they, trying to spot everything that goes on.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, they'll be creeping offside.
Do you think they'll use the video referee on some of the decisions as well?
They really haven't thought this through.
Should we worry about it a bit further into the season?
No, we should enjoy this season now for what it is. But
yeah,
it's going
to
be.
What I mean, we'll worry about
next
year's rules next year.
Make hay while the sun shines, because next year it'll be make haze.
Make more haze. Yeah.
Make more haze. Exactly.
Actually, do you know what? For once, maybe we've been ahead of the curve, because last year you were saying how small our lads are when they have to come in from the academy compared to the Saints and the Wigan lads. Maybe it's a long-term plan we've had all along.
Yeah, definitely. Can we not just put on on the front of a rugby league shirt or sort of above where they come out of the tunnel a big sign like they have on cigarettes saying, rugby
warning.
League can seriously damage your health.
Ooh. Interesting.
And you sign a waiver, and we just carry on playing the game the way it's always been played.
It's funny how you've ventured into tackle bag territory here, because I've got a couple of things as well. I like the shirt thing. Remember that? I'm picking on a particular demographic of our listeners here, but do you remember Magpie back in the 70s, 80s?
Oh, what you used to watch Blue
before?
Peter.
The podcast, we're looking for a younger audience. You're they coming out with Magpie.
They had a line that was they used to track where they were going on their sort of like charity or raising money. If we had a line on the shirts, could we have that target line on every shirt? So they're all branded the same, but they all have a target line. Going on your fag packet analogy thing, that'd be good. The other couple I've picked up on is that could you make all the corridors in the Halliwell Jones with lowered ceilings so that the players would all have to walk around, like bent down, ready to tackle in position? Mm. And the other one was kitchen trainer. Make sure you just use the bottom cupboards for your food. So when you're at home, you're always taking, bending over, this, that, and the other. So you're almost getting into it. And then finally, of course, we mustn't forget the bungalow, then a perfect opportunity for sticking somebody in there with the low ceilings in there as
well. That's very good, Dan. Just for balance, what should the ladies do to bend down?
Well, I have to say, I don't really mind. I mean, as long as I've had a drink, I don't, you know. Oh, you'll have to cut this. Well, we'll have to cut this with the new rules. I'm not going to swear this year.
Really?
Yeah.
That's good, isn't it? And continuing on player welfare, instrumented mouthguards are to be made compulsory in Super League, with the mouthguards actively monitoring the impact of players' heads during contact. Now, surely this was tackle bags, wasn't it? We've already done this.
Yes. I mean, this was season two, I think we had this. I don't like the branding that they've done, instrumented mouthguard, because I thought it was something to play some music while they were playing rugby league, which was going to be the tackle bags idea 2025. So, it's probably a good idea. I don't know how effective that would be.
My auntie, years ago, swallowed a mouth organ.
Oh.
Harmonica. Got anything on that, Sam? Anything on mouthguards? He's grinning away there. Look, you can tell he's ready to go on holiday, can't you? Look at him. He's got a few little things to tidy up at work, but he's practically packed and on that plane.
Basically, yeah.
Nothing on mouthguards, then?
I thought it was a rinse you bought from the chemist mouthguard. You rinsed it around your mouth before you went to sleep.
Oh, it's just south of the river stuff, that, Sam.
The worst kept secret at the HJ has finally been announced, that Sam Cassiano has been released from his contract. A club statement read, "We thank Sam for his contribution and wish him well for the next chapter in his career." Kind of knew he was going, didn't we? It was just rumours started to spread. I don't think he went away on the boot camp weekend.
Too tall now as well. Too tall.
Too tall, offloading. Too tall. Too tall. I mean, that might be another thing they need to do, is just look at, get offload all the players this year that are over 5'10".
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Well, interestingly enough, he still appears as a Warrington player on the revamped Super League website, but he's the only Warrington player wearing last year's kit. Everyone else is wearing this year's kit. So that should have given him a clue when those pictures went through, shouldn't it?
Have they got a picture now for Joe Bullock? Have they managed to get him out of his wig and top?
Well, let's have a look, shall we? Let's see.
Finally in the primrose and blue.
A live look.
There he is.
Up to the date.
Number 19, prop Joe Bullock in primrose and blue.
Would you have kept him, Dennis? Big Sam? Do you have any kind of strengths to come on when, you know, this year we're on the front foot? No?
He promised a lot. I think with his size, and he did have some very impactful moments, but they were few and far between. Not enough minutes.
XYS second row forward Ellis Longstaff has quit professional rugby league at just 21 years of age. Longstaff made his debut for Warrington in 2020, making 15 appearances. He also played for Hull, Salford and Featherstone, and was also capped by the England Knights. Disappointing. He always tried, I thought, Longstaff. He got that 2020 season. He had a couple of opportunities, but we always said he was just a little bit light. And he's been battered around from pillar to post since then.
And I think this is perhaps the weakness of rugby league compared to football, soccer, compared to football. If you don't quite make it at Super League level, you've not really got anywhere to go. If you're in soccer and you don't quite make it at Premier League level, a Championship or League One team picks you up and you've still got a reasonable living to make. But if you don't quite make it, you've got to go and find your living elsewhere and you're lost to the game, really, aren't you?
What's he doing now? Yeah. Do we know what he's doing now?
He did say what he was going to go and do, didn't it, in his article. But
does that fall under information, my section, or stats, what he's doing now?
It's just definitely just, you.
Just
yeah,
clarify
go on.
That.
Yeah, definitely.
Is that me? Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. He's a plumber.
Oh, God damn. I wrote down DJ. Don't know why. Just thought he was a DJ.
I don't know what he is. Just made that up.
Oh,
I mean, Sam's
you?
Been
oh,
just... No. Well, Sam's been throwing out bullshit stats for years, so I thought that's what I do.
If you say it most confidently, then nobody really checks. I've been watching a lot of the overlap. I don't know if you've seen it with like Gary Neville and Roy Keane and Jamie Carragher.
It wasn't on in the 70s. Yeah.
No, that's all they do. That's all they do. They just say stuff, and because... You presume they were there. You presume it's true. You've no idea whether it's exaggerated or completely true or not. So
it's good. At a Warrington fans forum, Sam Burgess was asked the question, "What are your targets?" Burgess replied, "I'm here to win. That's my target." He also went on to say, "We've put in a new attacking system that suits what we have. It will free Josh Drinkwater up to play to his strengths. And also give George Williams opportunities on both sides of the field." So finally, we're going away from that structure of right and left. We are going to throw the ball around. The highlights I saw of the first trial game, Leon Hayes seemed to be skipping around at the back. Second receiver on both sides. Good to see.
Yeah.
Needed to be done.
Very much. I'm just trying to find the actual wording he said that I noticed, but the gist of it was as you intimate there, Rob, it was about Drinkwater getting more involved and not just one on one side, one on the other, and always going to Williams's side.
Rob, I'm quite interested in how you think. You're a man of business and, like, you know, working in the hubbub of Sydney there and so on. If you were asked about that, what are your targets? I'm here to win. If you were interviewing someone or, you know, expectations from a business, how would you see that? Is that a good response?
I don't go on that. I employ people solely off their cover letter.
whether it smells nice.
Well, firstly, do they write a cover letter? Anyone who doesn't write a cover letter, they can fuck off straight away.
Right, okay.
And then basically I just read between the lines in the cover letter and that's it. That's where I go. I'm not sure what Josh Drinkwater's cover letter would be like. I've been around in many clubs. I've learnt myself a really good trade on both sides of the Pacific Ocean. I'd like to think that if I get my hands on the ball a little bit more, there's a fair chance I could be an absolute winner. So if he wrote his cover letter like that, I'd probably employ him. But if he wrote and said, "I've been in many clubs over the years and done absolutely fuck all after my third or fourth appearance before tagging on to an ex club, I'm the man for you," then I probably wouldn't employ him. So that's kind of
I was talking about Sam Burgess, actually.
Sorry. Yeah. So we'll move on to him in a sec.
With his response of, "I'm here to win."
That's
his target.
Well, he's a winner. There's no question about it. He is a winner. I'm here. He's been doing things at training that the boys can't do. And he's been retired for about, you know, 3 years. There's no doubt about it. That guy is a winner. And he won't expect anything less. But as I've heard them say on the radio here, he's got to sort of manage his expectations not around what he presumes he can do, not all the boys in the team can do. So... did that make sense? If you actually wrote that down, what I said then, did that make sense?
Yeah,
no, but I think we know what you mean.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Okay, so what happens if he doesn't win?
Well, you see, that's the question, isn't it? That it's all very perfect for him at the moment, but what kind of attitude does he adopt when he does lose a few games and he does have a bit of a revolt in the changing room? What happens then? That's the management style that I've not seen, and I'm not sure Sam Burgess has seen yet.
Yeah,
learn
I think
from your mistakes.
He needs to refer to the Irish novelist Samuel Beckett, doesn't he? And fail again and fail better, you know. So fail better is probably what we need to see, not like, you know, a clusterfuck. His expectations are going to be...
Are you on board, right, Dennis?
Yeah, I'm on board. Yeah,
not resoundingly, though. Not resoundingly,
well,
that.
They're showing all the games on the telly, so, you know, I've got no excuse.
Burgess has confirmed Stephen Ratchford will retain the club captaincy for a second year. Ooh. He went on to say, when Ratchford isn't on the field, George Williams will take over. So George Williams is going to be the captain this year. Is that
That's how I read it. That's
a way of sort of letting Steph down lightly.
Yeah. Is that the right choice? I mean, well, aside from
Paul Vaughan, I just don't know why they wouldn't go Paul Vaughan.
I know.
He's
tall.
Maybe he doesn't. Maybe they have to get rid of him, offloading him this year, aren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, Williams is the idea. I mean, he's under the KPI height of what we need now. So moving forward, George Williams and Leon Hayes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Excellent. I think at the end of the day, I don't know about George Williams as a leader. Is he a leader? I mean, he's captain of England, wasn't he? Is that right?
Yeah, there he is. Who would you have picked, Sam?
I'd have probably gone with Williams. I'd agree with you, though. There's only Williams or Vaughan that would stand out as you wanting to be the guy with the armband. But Williams, I suppose, is the guy who will call the shots and call the plays most.
So surprised he's kept with Ratchford?
No, I don't think it's that unusual anymore to have what you might class as a club captain. I don't think, unless we've got injuries, I don't see Ratchford playing very many minutes.
Doesn't that make it worse then? Because then basically Williams does it 3 out of 4 weeks, and then occasionally Ratchford comes in, and all of a sudden you don't think it makes any difference.
I think in real terms it'll be Williams calling the plays on the pitch. If Ratchford's on the pitch, he might be the one who literally goes up and questions the referee when there's a bit of an iffy decision. But that's all.
Okay. What about Lachlan Fitzgibbon? Has he not got any leadership previous?
I don't know anything about him yet, really, apart from he's the best dummy runner in the NRL, according to Alan London. That's all I've got on that.
Right.
He's been
that doesn't sound good.
He's been an excellent, consistent player for Newcastle for several years. Slightly dodgy shoulder. That's the big caveat with him. But if he stays fit, slightly. Yeah, but if he stays fit, I don't think there'll be any problem with his attitude. I think
he's on my watch list.
Yes.
He's on my watch list. Yes. I've got five on. Do you want me watch list? What was my watch list again?
I think it'd be good to go through your watch list, Rob. Because
we'll come on to that. When we come on to the squad, I'll find my watch list. Yeah. Okay. Staying with our new coach, Sam Burgess was broadcast via a live link into a Sydney court last Thursday. The case in question related to Burgess testing positive at a roadside breath test in Sydney in the lead up to Christmas 2022. However, a subsequent test cleared Burgess of having any drugs in his system. But Burgess was also charged for driving without a licence. The court heard that months prior to Mr. Burgess being pulled over, he had completed a 10-month licence suspension. In a convoluted set of circumstances more confusing than the pop-ups on the Warrington Guardian website, the court heard that Mr. Burgess's licence had once again been suspended for 5 more offences, with a second suspension notice on November the 14th, 2022. But Mr. Burgess told the court he had not received the notification at his Little Bay address. Burgess's high-profile solicitor, Brian Wrench, argued that his client had an honest and reasonable belief that it was legal for him to get behind the wheel of his car. Magistrate Jacqueline Millage accepted Burgess had reasonable belief he was okay to drive and was happy to see Burgess had attempted to turn around his poor driving record and implored him to keep a clean record from here on out. The magistrate concluded with some words of advice to Warrington's new coach, which were, get off your phone.
Is that it now? Are there all these cases done, or is there some more in the pipeline?
This is my problem. This is where my problem lies with Mr. Burgess. When it was announced he was going to be the new coach of Warrington, I live in Sydney. He's in the tabloids all the time. If I go to a barbecue or I go to work, everyone goes, fucking hell.
Oh, dear.
And I'll leave it at that. Like, so, you know, so far, so good. But this just keeps digging at me that, you know.
I think
maybe though it will disappear that spotlight, because he's obviously just going to disappear into the UK now and that'll be it.
Yeah, he hasn't got the spotlight on him in the same way. He's getting older. Hopefully he does what he says, or is true to his word that he is more mature and more grown up. Well, I mean, simplifying it. And I guess we start with a clean slate here, don't we? With the
What's
big
your
caveat.
Worst driving conviction, Sam? What's your worst driving conviction? What have you been done for? Come on.
I've had
pristine license for 30 years, Dennis. Know. Listen to this. Clean as a whistle. Listen to this.
I have one, which I was very annoyed about. One driving in a bus lane.
Bus.
Jesus. Get him off the pod.
No, just
think that's a police thing. Actually, that's
no,
just
it,
a council
it was just a
matter,
camera,
it?
And it was. I went down the wrong street in Kingston upon Thames. I did a U-turn, which took me right across the road into the bus lane.
Why did I ask?
And there's a fucking photograph of my car coming out of the bus lane. I couldn't have been in it for more than about 10 metres, and that's my only one, I'm afraid.
Did you not get high profile solicitor Brian Wrench to defend your case, Sam?
No, I
didn't bother with that.
I paid the 30 quid by paying it straight away.
What's yours, Rob? What's yours?
Driving about 6:30 in the morning in Sydney. It was. I had a lot of condensation on the back window. There was a white line down the middle of the road and I went over it and a copper on a motorbike pulled
me
over.
What sort of white line was it, just out of interest? Was it?
None of that, Dennis. None of that.
Okay.
That's ironic. Anyway, I wrote a letter and got
off. What's the name of that solicitor again?
Brian Wrench.
Connor's
dad. Is that
dad.
Connor Wrench's uncle?
Yeah, probably. it'd be useful that for the club, wouldn't it? Just in case.
I tell you what, there's no fucking chance that Waywell's had any speeding fines because he doesn't go that quick because he's always trying to save. He's always driving at 55 miles an hour to save petrol.
Oh, that's very good. Yeah,
even through How Wales in the 20 mile an hour zone.
How can you be suspended for 10 months and then get 5 more offences? Like, what? Fucking hell.
Do you think BMW are quickly having chats amongst themselves today? Do we need to take that courtesy car we've got off him back?
Pre-season saw Warrington play two friendlies. Firstly, a mainly academy-based team beat Widnes at the HJ 46-40. And at the time of this podcast recording, the second warm-up game put together for Joe Philbin's testimonial match against Lee is still to be played. So that's your time tomorrow, boys. You going, Sam?
I am intending to go tomorrow, yes.
Oh.
I'm going on my own and I'm going to stand up.
Yeah. In protest or...?
Just for a change. Like I used to when I was young. Probably after about 25 minutes, I'll be thinking, why the fuck didn't I buy a seat?
I think the other really big thing, are you going to have one of these leek and potato soups that they're doing?
Well, I could try one, couldn't I? Luke Littler, leek and potato soup.
Yeah.
I'd rather have a kebab.
Will you be drinking?
No.
Oh, okay.
Rob's gone to sleep.
I think I've just run. We're in episode one. What are we? Half an hour in. I've run out of steam.
We're not half an hour in. We're 40 minutes not, in.
I've not conditioned myself during the off season this year, lads.
Is it not time for a wee break yet?
I was going to say next 10, 15. Well, let's do another 10 minutes and then we'll have a 5 minute break.
Are you going to edit this or are you just going to put it out?
No, fuck it. Put it out. Fuck that.
Oh,
fuck that.
Jesus.
I'm putting as little work in possible this year to this podcast. The patrons have all fucked off. They've all gone. So it's coming out of my pocket.
I've not had anything. So. Timothy Taylor's. What happened to that?
Exactly.
Fucking
in fact, if we need some patrons, I'll say it now. Get yourself all signed up. You've all bloody cancelled your memberships. Mrs. Bloody London's at me again. Got bills to pay. I've got Sankey coming out next week. He's going to drink me under the fucking table.
Exactly. Jesus. Eat you out of house and home. Drink you under the table. Can't wait.
Right, let's have a look at the contracted players. We've got 15 players coming off contract November 2024. They are Joe Bollocks, Tom Whitehead, Gil Dudson, Stephen Ratchford, Matt Dufty, Josh Drinkwater, Leon Hayes, the most valuable player from 2025 going forward, Josh Lynch, Jake Thulis, Roderick Ty, Wesley Bruins, Matty Russell, Adam Holroyd, and Luke Thomas. Just before we go on, how will we be pronouncing Wesley Bruins this year? Am I going for Bruins or Brunez? What are we doing?
Brunez.
Wesley Brunez. Coming Wesley to a Brunez. Cinema near you soon.
Wesley Brunez, number 28. Yeah, it sounds like an ice hockey game already.
Okay. Right. Who are we keeping out of that lot, Sam?
Well, I think playing for contract, really, is surely Matt Dufty. And
oh, so he's you wouldn't give him you still think he's playing for his contract?
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Once his pace goes, he's no good at all, is he?
No,
at all.
But yeah. He's on my watch list this year.
Because, oh, yes, I'll give you a watch list.
Because I think he is a superb asset to us. Obviously, the reason he's not playing in the NRL is because his defence, his concentration, if you like, is not quite up to top notch. And I think he only needs to improve that a small amount to be a really, really top Super League player. He was good last year. He was our second top try scorer last year. He was one of the top tackle breakers in the league. All he needs to do is just tighten up a couple of little things with his general defensive play. He's never going to be great defensively, but just tighten up a couple of things and he could be outstanding for us.
How old is he, Sam?
Okay.
26.
All right,
I'll soon find out for you.
Potentially, you know, if his asset is his pace, you know, you would expect him
27.
To be able to keep
27. Okay, sorry.
You'd expect him to be able to keep that for the next couple of years. I think he's one that we should keep. I think you know, you want that strike from the wings and the fullback, don't you? So, yeah, bit of pace there is good.
Right.
What about
I'm keeping Leon Hayes with the new ruling.
Yes.
He's definitely sign him up for 10 years. Yeah. I'm also keeping Matty Russell now for the same reason. Yeah, they're the two.
Well, I've got Matty Russell on a rolling 1-year contract from now on. That's what I've got him on.
Excellent, Dennis.
I think the interesting one in amongst that lot, I mean, we've got lots of youngish lads who will be hoping to, as a bare minimum, get a 1-year extension in there. Your Brunez, Luke Thompson, Adam Holroyd. Mm. But the interesting one there is Roderick Ty, because he's now going to be out.
He's short.
He is, but he's going to be out now for 2, maybe even 3 months. He's going to be out for a while.
Yeah.
What do you go for at a Thai restaurant?
I couldn't really give you a Thai fare. I don't really frequent Thai restaurants. Don't mind a red or green Thai curry. Don't mind either.
Oh, there you go. You know? There you go. See, got something. I was at netball a few years ago and was talking to one of the mums who was watching, and I was coaching, and she said to me, "Do you like being tied up, Rob?" I said, "Sorry." She goes, "I've got into being tied up. My mouth went dry, and I went down the other end of the court very quickly."
Fucking idiot. Joe Bullock is definitely worth keeping. I think, from what I've seen of Joe Bullock, I think he's been quite good. So it's interesting to see the dynamic of whether Burgess sees the same thing, being that he's a forward. And, what forwards Burgess, has faith in. He seems to be pushing Philbin at the moment, doesn't he, on social media?
He's at the older age range though, isn't he, Joe Bullock? Isn't he 32, 33-ish?
They'll drop soon, those, won't they?
How old's Chris Hill nowadays?
No, he's given up, hasn't he?
Oh, has he? Oh.
He's a DJ.
He's plumbing.
Isn't he? Oh, okay. Also, to just point out that for about the last 3 months, I've been following some random kid on Instagram who I thought was Adam Holroyd. He was going to all these places in Sydney, and then eventually I sent a screenshot to Sam and said, "He's not even in the squad. He's on the fair today in Sydney." And Sam ran back and went, "Who is he?" And then I realised it wasn't Adam Holroyd. It was just some
random miner that you're following. Jesus.
November 2025, 8 players off contract expire. Toby King, Brian Wrench's nephew, Connor Wrench, Matty Nicholson, James Harrison, Paul Vaughan, Jordan Crowther, Zane Musgrove, and Brad Dwyer. Mm-hmm. So I'm keeping Brad Dwyer, for obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. Again, height.
You get me every time with that. Yeah. What about Paul Vaughan then? I mean, that's a tough decision,
gone.
Isn't it?
Get him. Jesus. Get him out of here straight away. Get him on the plane.
I tell you what, you're really adopting this 2025 strategy. I'm impressed. Whether it works or not is irrelevant, but I just like the idea that you're so assertive.
Big year for several players here, though, isn't it? Toby King, Connor Wrench, Nicholson, who again is going to be out for several weeks, James Harrison, and Jordy Crowther.
You've adopted the young terminology there, Jordy Crowther, not
Jordy Crowther. All in the right age bracket for us to be keeping in and offering extensions
tall,
if they
Sam,
go
all
well
too
this
tall.
Year.
All too tall. Get rid of them all.
Connor Wrench isn't too tall.
November 2026, six players come off contracts: Josh Thulis, Matty Ashton, George Williams, Danny Walker, Ben Curry, Lachlan Fitzgibbon, and Joe Philbin. Danny Walker's a must. Philbin's quite short. Might keep Philbin as well.
Listen, I've just broke. Who cares? Because it's going to be the Umpa Lumpa team by the time we get to 2026.
Are they cool? I don't think they're called Umpa Lumpas in the new Wonka film.
Are they? Bollocks.
Based on all these contracts, we put out a little poll. Do you have confidence in Warrington's CEO, Carl Fitzpatrick? 365 votes. Yes, 15.9. No, 84.1. I guess every CEO never is flavour of the month, are they? So I wouldn't expect you to ever find, unless you're winning everything,
and
to
I'm
have a positive.
I'm railing against this Carl bashing this year.
Hang on. You need to go with the majority, Sam. Keep the listeners on board.
84.1%. That's all right. You two can go with them, and I'll go with the minority.
There's another patron gone.
All I can read into them stats at 15% who said yes. That means his armpits under his earlobe.
Look at Dennis. He's absolutely the injury ward at Warrington is showing a few early casualties in Stefan Ratchford, Josh Thulis, Matty Nicholson, Joe Bullock, Wesley Brunez, and the new overseas signing, Roderick Tai. Thulis is expected to be in contention for Wye's opening Super League game in France, with Ratchford and Bullock both 50-50 calls. Tai, though,
is expected to miss the first few weeks of the season with a dicky knee, as too is Nicholson with a persistent pubic bone blemish. Whereas Wesley Bruner's diagnosis is a hamstring related, and he's expected to be out for some time.
Well, we know what we have to focus on here, don't we? I mean, what's a pubic bone blemish? I mean, I'll be honest, I did Google it. The only thing I could come up with was it's, should I say, sensitive skin, maybe?
Shaving down there.
I mean, it went from there to vaginal warts. But, I mean, you know, it's probably everything in between, isn't it?
If you get a spot in your pubes, it's really aggressive, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
Like, it's just I think
that's
lethal.
What it is.
Yeah. Oh, can they not pop it?
I have no idea.
Shave it off.
Have you been to the clap clinic, Sam?
Never had the need yet.
I shave my balls since I've moved to Australia. I am absolutely as clean as a whistle down there due to humidity. You can't. When I played football here, all the lads shaved their balls.
God almighty.
Is it like having a Brillo pad in your underpants? Can I make a suggestion? Can we pause now?
What did everyone do on their break? I unstacked the dishwasher, but I only did the bottom level just to see if I could tackle under the armpits.
Funny enough, I just reached something from the bottom cupboard, the ice cubes.
There you go.
The freezer.
Sam's had a Caesar salad sandwich.
Oh. Which was from the top half of the fridge.
Traditionalist.
Yeah. You'll be lost next year.
Oh dear. Right, London Broncos owner David Hughes has expressed his concerns with IMG's new grading system. From this season, a team's final league position is one of only 5 points in the scoring options. They are 25% of the points available are awarded for a club's fandom, which covers both attendances, digital interaction and engagement. 25% of the points come from the club's final league position. 22.5% of the points are awarded for financial performance, 15% of the points come from the club's stadium experience, and 12.5% of the points for the club's community interaction. I mean, this is Tackle Bags 2023, Dennis.
It is
a
bit.
You pretty much did this, didn't you?
Yeah, it is a bit. I mean, the criteria is vastly different. But the first thing is the 25% of points for the club's fandom. Do our stats count for that? Has Cal been on asking?
That's a good point. I like how they've done 22.5% for the financial performance. They put in a 0.5 just to make it sound a little bit more financial.
Yeah.
It's gone very American, hasn't it? It's gone very
What do you
American.
Think, Sam? Are you in favour of this dogmatic formula?
I think there's one big problem with it for me. I do like the theory behind having a more rounded approach to a club's overall performance. So I do like that idea, but how long is it going to be after the end of the season before you've decided who's coming up and who's going down? When's the cut-off point for all this?
Is this no relegation?
Yeah. No, it's relegation. It's.
But are you saying then, Sam, in that situation, even if there's a straight relegation, that there'll be then a review against this criteria?
Well, no, the relegation's based on this criteria, not on points anymore.
Oh, I've missed that.
So if you finish bottom, but your fandom's up and you've got a nice financial balance sheet, and your club's community interaction spot on, you stay up.
Only 25%
of your points are for your league position.
But is that? I haven't seen the finer detail. I thought they were effectively applying for a license for a couple of years or 3 years, like we did before.
No, I don't
Oh, no, you do. You do.
Do I? Do
yeah,
I?
Yeah, just for a bit longer. Look, that does seem like it's a bit dodgy, doesn't it? Because, like, you know, let's say you have a clusterfuck year and you end up in 12th, but you're a big club and you've got all the other components of this formula. Then the club that's like fourth from bottom could then be relegated. Is that what we're saying?
Yes.
Yeah. Team that finishes top could be relegated. I mean, you'd have to be pretty shit on everything else. Well, yeah. I guess.
Well, you could lose a load of money.
Yeah. You know. All these things. The Broncos are ranked 24th in 2023, 4.38 points short of the 12th ranked team Lee.
Yes.
So this is what he's saying. He's saying, you know, if they finish 11th, they're still going down unless they can get all these other things in place. Hmm.
So here's the thing. Sam, how long is the flight to Sydney?
It's about 23 hours in total, isn't it, Rob? You've done it many times.
I know you're going to Melbourne, but it's you're 23 hours on a plane. You're going to Melbourne, whatever. So in that time, could you work out the combination of a worst performing club and then the best performing club and like that where they could finish in the league but still be relegated?
Dennis, he's watching Sleepless in Seattle when he gets on the plane. He hasn't got time for this.
I've got the ice entertainment programme from Emirates and I've got
you've been looking at
a
that.
Free
Have you
bar.
Actually, you've no, already looked at that, haven't you?
No,
you've
Jill
already
sent
had
this,
a little look.
Jill sent me the screenshots of it all. She's booked me in. She's done the PA in work. I've just got
what
to turn
What other
up.
Screenshots was she sending you, Sam? She's been sending you other stuff.
Sadly, nothing. Hey, oh, do you want some news? Justin went home on Australia Day. She's all on her own. I've noticed she's been calling me twice as often and for twice as long now that Justin's not there to speak to.
You know he's coming up the weekend you're coming up with Mrs.
Excellent.
Sankey, don't you?
It's like it's excellent, brilliant. Is he going to do the army drills and things like that?
Who are we on about?
Justin.
Who?
Justin is working with Mrs. Sankey as an ex-former US Marine. Working in Melbourne with Mrs. Sankey. Mrs. Sankey has been mentioning him a lot in the conversation.
Oh, I see.
Justin and I did this. We went here, Justin and me. All this kind of stuff's been going on, you see. So
I didn't know all
he's been
this.
A little bit, but thankfully Justin has now gone back to the States. Has he gone to the States?
Went to New Zealand, then back to the States, yes.
Right. Mm. He does sound
is he going back
pretty,
out after
pretty
you?
Great.
You know?
No, he's gone now. He's out the equation.
Every Super League match in 2024 will be shown live on either Sky Sports, the BBC, or the new online platform Super League Plus. Rugby League Commercials Managing Director Rodri Jones said it will be a subscription channel similar to Netflix. You'll be able to buy an annual pass, a monthly pass, or a game per view pass. The BBC have confirmed they will show at least 12 Super League games, with the games likely to be played on Saturday evenings. I've tried to buy a pass.
Have you?
It won't let me.
VPN?
No, VPN's off. Tried it all. Keeps just saying... It comes up with some fault on the screen.
I'm still confused. So it's a bit like this finishing in the league, isn't it, and still being relegated and stuff. Which package do I need to go for? Because, you know, I know it's caused a lot of confusion. Is it Our League, the app? Is that the alternative service?
No, Our League.
Super League
Plus. It's not on Our League, it's Super League Plus. You can download it on your phone. There's an app on your phone as well.
Is there?
Yeah. You have to type in... Plus, as in the mathematical symbol, not the word PLUS.
Right.
Yep. And it comes up. Yep. There it is.
Okay. I'll do it live.
I mean, but you've got Sky, haven't you, Sam? You're Sky, skying away.
I'm skying away.
So I'm going to see what happens here because I've got KO and every game's on KO. You know, the Sky show. So I'm not going to start venturing into the world of subscriptions until I see the lay of the land.
Oh, yeah. Super League Plus. I better get that. Yeah. When's the season start?
You know. I see they've had a... we'll move on to this in a sec. And finally, staying with TV, Phil Clark will no longer be on your telly, with Mr. Clark deciding to step down from his role as a Super League pundit after 23 years with Sky.
Bloody
hell. Has Barry and Terry gone?
No.
Have they? They're still there.
Fortunately, not yet.
But they have upgraded with Mr. Woods, who we send our regards to. I think there's they've brought in the bloke from Channel 4 with the thick Leeds accent.
Oh, yeah.
So they've had a little bit of a shuffle around.
Well, in the first few weeks, they're going to be showing every game, aren't they? So a bit like when you have midweek football and Champions League and there's three different matches on three different channels at the same time. It's going to be a little bit like that.
Right, this is where I'm confused then. So will they be commentating on the other matches? They can't commentate on all the matches, can they?
Commentating all the matches.
Who's the commentating on the other channel?
Are you all right? Warrington up ball and going forward and it's on to Leon Ayres and Ayres has gone over it fucking... Are you all right?
Are there auditions for it?
I don't know.
You've got the twang.
Yeah. Wait and see. Oh, well, it'd be interesting. Can I watch these on sort of, you know, catch up? Can I avoid my WhatsApp and everything and get up in the morning and stick it on or...
If you pay for it, I would think so.
Well, you say that, Sam. I can't do that with Sky Sports because I've only got Now TV and you can't watch anything on catch-up. Yeah. But if Super League Plus does it, then I can. I've worked out the permutations of how much it costs per game doing it either on a 1 month, one match, 2 months, 6 months, and 12 months. And it does actually
travelling
work
at 55
out better.
Miles per hour at the same time.
Yes, and it does work out better that the 12-month annual fee is probably the most economic one to pay for.
It might be, but you're not going to put your hand in your pocket for 12 months, are you?
Because the other thing is if you watch on the Super League Plus one, if it's shown on Sky, then you can only watch it 48 hours later on the Super League Plus one. So there is a bit of a loophole that you could end up not being able to watch some of the live games of your club.
Could we put an incentive in place that you subscribe to your game and if your team wins, you get a refund, but if they lose, you have to pay or something? Could we put something, you know, make it a bit more exciting?
Yeah. There's a tackleback side in there somewhere.
Are you going to miss Phil Clark, Sam? I know you're an advocate of Mr. Clark. Met him in person a few times. Delightful gentleman.
And that's why I'm an advocate of him, because... when you meet him in real life, shall we say, rather than this Phil Clark spouting anything he can that's controversial, he's articulate, he's knowledgeable, he puts his point across exceptionally well. I saw him give a talk on player welfare and basically saving for your future and making sure you're insured in case of neck injuries.
And, oh, you'd have liked that. You'd have liked that, wouldn't you?
But
caveating.
Yeah, but he was and cravat wearing, and he's excellent. So it's just a shame he's been playing this. I guess to a degree, he's been playing this caricature of himself on the TV, and that's what disappoints me a bit with Sky. Sometimes they fit into a box and they play to that type, don't they?
I mean, the darts is to a, you know, a working class demographic, but they seem to get a nice balance. They seem to, you know, it doesn't seem to have that same fucking buffoonery that rugby league has. So, I don't know. Anyway. Well, if you feel alone,
it's Madam Boyd here, your trusted Primrose and Blue Coat. Now, please remember, if you're still suffering from an intake of Halliwell Jones line cleaner, Dr. Lomax's surgery is open from 10 o'clock this morning. And remember, at 12 o'clock for all those attending the Tackle Below the Knee rugby game, I will be serving some high cholesterol fare from my mobile chip van. Where you can stuff your fat bases for the afternoon. Hidey hi. No, that's the wrong tune, Daryl.
Oh, Samuel, what a wonderful idea it is to open up the Warrington Wolves themed holiday camp. This works absolutely perfect for me and my rugby league rimming consultancy. And I must say, making all the players wear primrose coats whilst entertaining the punters is a stroke of genius.
I told you this, Wolfie. If I can't take them to Bondi Beach for a holiday, then I'll bring Bondi Beach to them.
Oh, well, let's face it, Samuel. This place has been like a holiday camp for years. So making it official now might just get the supporters back on side. Now, have we got anything planned for those happy clappers for today's entertainment?
Aye, I thought we'd start with a game of bingo.
Oh, that's excellent. It'll fit right in with the club branding. Running the club like a complete lottery.
Aye, and you never know, Walter. I might be able to hit the jackpot. You know, like that Warrington 88 winning team. Well, if you're saying a bingo call, Walter, 88, two fat ladies.
Oh, well, that's no way to talk about Stuart Middleton and Professor Broomhead. And besides, I hear that Punch and Judy were scaring the kids again this morning, especially when the crocodile ate all of Benny Wedgwood's sausage baguettes.
Look, I realise it's all a bit outdated, and the show's probably one for the history books, but I thought his stiff, motionless puppeteering and bland characterisation and his big nose held everyone's attention.
Sorry, Samuel. Are we still talking about Mr. Punch or Stephen Ratchford?
Right, I'm off to the pool, Wolfie. The Miss Lovely Legs contestants will be providing shortly. I want to get a front row seat for Tanya Arnold.
Oh, good heavens, Mr. Burgers. You're not in Australia now. We'll have to have less of your misogyny, womanising around here. Now, quick, have Fitzpatrick shave his legs and put that lip liner on again. Oh, and see if he can find his second earring.
Sorry, Alpha. I think I'm a bit out of touch. What with me being on the dark side of the moon for so long? Do you think I should cancel the Leon Ayres-sponsored midget throwing competition?
Oh, Tackle Saxon, Heidi Ho.
This was a very much a setting up episode, wasn't it? I think there's no doubt about the era in which the holiday camp had its heyday, and the
Hayes Day.
Yes. I did wonder. Did you get Sylvester Stallone to voice up Samuel?
It's a worry where that one's going, because by about episode 6. Even I don't know who he is.
I think we had a bit of a writing meeting, and I just happened to mention something to Rob that I did actually listen to one and episode 6, and we've come a long way.
His infliction's getting worse as they go on.
As you acclimatise to the UK.
But did you like the new format? Because we've gone all edgy now, because our demographic of under 20 listeners has risen to 14%. So I gave you it as a box set, Sam. I gave you the first three. A bit like The Traitors has been on every week, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Yes.
So did you like that? Or would you prefer to go back to a one per one? I mean, was it hard to get through three?
To be fair, I've only listened to one.
Oh, you see. Yeah. Traditionalist. However, I knew that would happen. Dennis.
However, obviously the original Heidi High was written by Jim Perry and David Croft, and Perry served as a redcoat. Now, it's...
What's that, Butlins?
That or was Pontins? Butlins. Pontins were blue coats.
Right. Yeah.
Now, I notice it's a new season. It's a new season, but we've not had a quiz yet. So I've got a quiz for you.
Oh my goodness.
Here we go.
Red coat or blue coat? Red coat or blue coat? Who wants to go first?
Well, I'll let Rob go because he's got Rob? Experience in this area.
Well, I've worked in a pontin, so is that a blue coat?
They're the blue coats.
Yes, yeah. I'll go blue coat then, please.
No, right. No. So who's going to go first?
Right. Sorry.
Yeah. So, well, Ted Rogers.
Yeah, 3-2-1, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, what was he? Oh, I get it now. Right, okay, right. Well, Pontins was a little bit more middle class than Butlins. It was slightly more... Mm-hmm. I see Rogers more as a red coat.
Correct.
Yeah, thank you.
So, Bradley Walsh, Dennis.
Who's he?
Does the new Gladiators...
Yeah. Was he a red coat or a blue coat?
Oh, he's probably a red coat.
No, he was a blue coat. Rob, Jimmy Tarbuck.
Jimmy Tarbuck, I would think he's definitely a blue coat.
No, he's a red coat.
Oh.
So this is you, Dennis, to draw or to lose. Des O'Connor.
He seems. I can only see him in a red coat.
And you would be correct. You would be correct. I think we'll finish the quiz there. I don't think it's got many weeks. I don't think it's going to go past its pilot.
What about Dave Lee Travis?
Join him on a shadowy flight into the dangerous world of vlogging and the M62. Dennis Waywell is on a mission to keep rugby league alive. In a world of camper vans and reasonably priced tarpaulins. In northern towns where kids have blue drinks for their tea. Introducing Tackle Bags. No way, Tackle Vlogs. No hang on, Tackle Books. Nope, that's wrong too. I had it right the first time. He just can't even be arsed to rebadge it. Welcome to Dennis's Tackle Bags. Or just skip forward for about 15 minutes.
Interestingly, whilst we've been recording, I've written a bit of a question on one of the Tackle Bags themes that we've already discussed. The instrumented mouth guard.
I don't even fucking say it.
I can't even fucking say it.
Listen
instrumented
to
mouth guard.
Yes.
I've got a question. If it was worn after a match for oral sex, male or female, which would trigger a HIA? Anything on that?
I just hope we win the title this year, because I ain't coming back for season 7.
Well, listen, I haven't got a lot of time to spend on tackle bags this one, because...
Thanks for that.
This is the introductory to tackle bags. Now, I think we're all a bit concerned about 2025. Rob's obviously... anxiety is already up.
No, I don't care. I've given up caring.
Sam's
not watching it.
Completely oblivious and already thinking about buying a ticket for 2025 for seeing the next stage play of Willy Wonka. Now, listen, I'm going to give this up because I just cannot see it being any good next year. I think it's just going to be a clusterfuck. Whatever happens, it's going to take a season or two to calm down again in it. You know, by the time they work out what is, what isn't, this, that, and the other. So this year's tackle bags is called Tackle Bags Preppers. And what I'm trying to do is prepare fans, disillusioned fans, who may be thinking of looking at other sports. And I'm going to compare and contrast what exciting sports around the UK would compare to rugby league. Now, I've started devising a list month by month, looking at various sporting activities and events that are taking place over the calendar of 2024. It started in January, where I attended the Lymore Burning of the Ashen Faggot, which is a traditional farmer's little sort of event where they burn the ash from the Christmas decorations in a fireplace in a pub, and they all get round and have a chat and this, that and the other and have a sing-song. So that was quite entertaining. And basically, you can imagine that each month is based on various, not of the normal standard sporting things. So in my calendar so far, and this is all I want to do, is just cover off some of the things that I'm intending to either report on, be there, or even take part. But it really depends whether I can be asked getting off me backside. So we've got February, we've got pancake race, where all the women race in the village in Olney, I think that's in Oxford. We've got Viking Festival, we've got the Whitby Goth Weekend. In May, we've got the Seaweed Festival down in Cornwall, where you can eat as much seaweed as you can. Nettle eating, Marshwood in Dorset. There'll be a competition to see how much nettles you can eat. Snail racing in Congham in the 6th of July. Bog snorkeling in Lantrid Wells on the 25th of August. Black pudding throwing in Ramsbottom, date to be announced. Some of the others that don't have a date yet, gravy wrestling, which is a good one.
Gravy wrestling?
Gravy wrestling, yeah. You can go and wrestle in gravy, big swimming pools of gravy.
Could be a strain. Is my microphone working? Sorry.
Yeah. Worm charming, which is down in my neck of the woods. There's some pretty special
Will any
ones.
Of these be on Super League Plus?
More likely YouTube if I take a camera, but that'll be it. Ottery St Mary's, this is my favourite one. It's tar barrels that they carry and race through the streets, but they light them and they're on fire.
That sounds exciting. Yeah. That sounds really exciting. Is that where Phil Clark's going to? Is that what he's going to be commentating on this
possibly.
Year?
Possibly. We've got the usual original Olympics, where you've got shin kicking, which is in the Cotswolds.
You can no longer kick below the shin now.
It's below the ankle. Yeah, makes sense. And of course, everybody's favourite, the cheese rolling. Certainly want to go and see and stand at the top of the hill in Gloucester for that one. Date to be announced. So, yeah, I think really it's all about prepping for the inevitable. And if you don't and you become disillusioned, you've got somewhere to go with tackle bags. And, of course, every week I'll be looking for a tackle bags idea, if I can think of one, that would maybe help with the armpit tackle ruling for 2025. So that's tackle bags. Are you looking forward to that? What are you crying for?
It's only episode one.
Got a long way to go.
In 2024, we celebrate 20 years at the Halliwell Jones Stadium. So here is part one of my A to Z of the first 20 years of the HJ. A. A is for Atkins. With 93 tries, Ryan Atkins is the top scorer of the first 20 years of the HJ. Signed from Wakefield for the 2010 season, Atkins was a game changer for the club in the centre position. His strength and pace near the line made him such a handful, and the sight of him celebrating tongue out became commonplace in WA2. Sadly, the final few years of his 10-year spell at the club weren't quite as good and will always be remembered for the infamous "I believe I can fly" moment from the Leeds game in 2018. B. B is for brothers. There's been a few families that have seen two of their children ply their rugby league trade down for wire down the years, but none have been as successful in recent times as the Monaghans. Michael arrived from Manly in 2008 and instantly set about becoming one of the best spine players in the league. Brother Joel came three seasons later and stayed until 2015. Joel is Wire's best winger of the modern era and scored an incredible 145 tries for the club. Both were key parts of Wire's successes in the early 2010s and both captained the team at points too. C is for corners. In 2012, the stadium design became more connected, with the corners being filled in between the north and east stands and the east and south stands. This brought the capacity up to 15,300. The design of the stadium, extreme width of the pitch and capacity of the four stands means the HJ is consistently picked to host England games, Challenge Cup semi-finals, and has also played host to six World Cup matches, two in 2013 and four in 2022. See you next time for part two.
A is for Atkins, B for the brothers Michael and Joel Monaghan, and C for the stadium corners at the Halliwell Jones. I like this. I like this break from form of Daniel and going into something with a slightly different narrative.
I think
I didn't realise Atkins had... Yeah, I didn't think Atkins had scored that many tries.
No idea
he'd scored that. Would you want a fit young Atkins back? Would
he fit yes. in? 100%.
Would he go straight into the centres, wouldn't he?
For me, yeah.
Too tall?
I was thinking.
Yeah, he might only be for 1 year contract, maybe. Yeah.
We should have a look. We should have a look at teams gone by, what our best 13 would be from 2025. So I'll put Alan Langer, Andy Gregory, who else was small? Bacon, who used to play on the wing, he was tiny. Tyrone Roberts.
Danny Nutley, he was only little, wasn't he?
Danny Nutley, yes, there's another good one. Excellent. We'll work on this.
See. Yeah, I'd like to see that, actually, for the next podcast. I want a list of 13.
And then just to, like, roughen it up a bit, we could bring on Wainwright.
Just going back to Daniel's piece, I thought it's an excellent idea, and he's done really well there. I think it deserves to be put out there on its own when we release the episode. I think that would be good. You should put that out there. The one thing I would say is that, you know, he mentioned the Monaghans. Does everybody remember why Joel Monaghan came to Warrington?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not barking up the wrong tree there. We all remember.
Oh, okay.
We all remember. Was he wearing a mouth guard at the time? Did we get any stats on
that's
that?
That's a good stat. Yeah, Sam, can you look into that? It won't be under dogging, by the way.
Right. Okay.
Just to warn everyone. Next week he's doing D, so I'll let you know who he's going to do.
I can't wait for X, Y, Z.
Predictions.
We can predict the future or resist the inevitable urge to
Good afternoon to you. Earlier on today, apparently, a woman rang the BBC and said she heard that there's a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't.
I'll predict Warrington, but can I do it with a caveat, please?
Okay, Wire's 2024 season gets underway on Saturday, the 17th of Feb, away at Catalans, with a UK kickoff time. I think I might have this wrong. I've got 6:30 p.m. I think it's 5:30 p.m. I think, because Sam and I will be watching from the pool.
Excellent. Hooray.
4:30 a.m.
Is that still the night before, or is that getting up for breakfast on that day? Which is it going to be?
That's Sunday. Well, the itinerary for Saturday finishes at 3:30 a.m. I'm giving you an hour off. And then we're straight back in Sunday morning.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Okay, before we predict, here's Wilderspool Lena.
Hello, my name is Wilderspool Lena. Welcome back to What Would Brian Bevan Say Predictions, where this year, I will be taking over from that incompetent Rusty Tinbox Hal. I mean, let's face it, the post office's Horizon software would have had a better chance of predicting the outcome. Right then, on to my first prediction. The probability of Warrington winning away at Catalans is 39.06%. Be seeing you.
Hey, that's Dennis's catchphrase.
Oh, shut up.
Well, she's predicting why I have a 39.06% chance of winning in the south of France. So before I ask you to predict, Sam, can you predict our starting lineup?
Yes, I think I can. I think it's become a lot clearer with the one or two injuries we've got, but I think the back line surely picks itself.
Does it though? Give me the back line.
Dufty at fullback. Mm-hmm. Thewlis and Ashton on the wings. Wrench and King at centre. And Williams and Drinkwater at the halves.
Right, okay. And then give me your starting front row.
My starting front row will be Vaughan.
Because he served his suspension.
Which I always think is a bit dodgy.
Has he received another suspension in the post that he's not actually opened with five other offences?
He genuinely thinks he's available, so that's okay.
Yeah, that's all right.
So actually, I'm going to tell you the four props I think will play.
Oh, right.
Which will be Vaughan, Musgrove, Philbin and Harrison.
Yep.
Okay. Vaughan will start with one of the other three and the other two on the bench. And then Curry, Fitzgibbon and Crowther as the back.
And your Hooker's Walker.
Hooker will be Walker, yeah.
So you're playing Crowther at 13?
Yes. Well, I don't see any other realistic option with Matty Nicholson injured.
Mm. Mm. And who's on your bench then? You've got two props on your bench.
So that leaves me a bench. So let's assume Vaughan and Musgrove start. That leaves Philbin, Harrison, and then there's two places left.
Mm.
Depending on whether he's fit, I think most of the year he's going to have a straight choice between Sam Powell or Stephen Ratchford as his covering player.
Right. Okay.
And then it's whichever other young forward, Luke Thomas or Adam Holroyd.
And Thomas has been the standout so far, yeah?
Well, Thomas is supposedly, strictly speaking, a prop, and Holroyd is a second row.
Right.
I did wonder about Lucas Green, but he's not playing against Lee Leopards. So I'm making an assumption that if you're playing against Lee Leopards, you've got more chance of playing next week.
Okay, all right. Well, I think you've hit the nail on the head.
What about you, Rob? Is this your starting 13, 17?
Yeah,
what would you do?
I think, unfortunately, I think there's a sort of predominant 13 to 15 players, and then we're kind of scratching around a bit. I'd like to see Roderick Ty get fit to put some pressure on in the centres.
Yes, yeah.
And that might work. I still wouldn't rule out Matty Russell having
a dominant effect coming off the bench or being used somewhere in the season. So, but I've got my watch list here. I got one, two, three. I've got five on my watch list that I'm still unsure of. First one is Toby King. I want to see what his attitude's like and how he fits back in. Musgrove, I just don't know about him. I don't know what we're getting there. So he's another one I'll be watching. Drinkwater, no excuses. He has to perform better than he has been performing.
I think what's really interesting about that one is the fact that what we've heard is that, you know, Burgess has said that there's this new combination, it's going to change things to allow him to do it, this, that and the other. It is almost there now, right in front of you, to say, it's up to you, mate, if it doesn't work. And then what will Burgess do if it doesn't work? Because, you know, he's set out the stall and created the environment for him to, you know, do a bit better than he has done. It'd be interesting.
Well, that's also his problem, isn't it? That he's in the NRL, he's been over here, your scrum half doesn't perform, you've got four others knocking on the door in the squad. Or he hasn't got that layer of depth here. I think that's half the problem. It's all very well.
I think you're right there, Rob. And I think what's going to be very interesting, if let's hope everyone's fit and healthy and we start well for the first few weeks. But let's say Williams or Drinkwater picks up a knock. What will be interesting to me is whether he puts Leon Hayes in or whether he goes for the safe choice of Ratchford or Sam Powell to cover at half. You know, that's the key, isn't it? That's the key.
Yeah.
And I think...
My other two...
Sorry, apologies, go on. Well, I was just going to say, I've really, really repeating what I perhaps said earlier. If they stay fit, Ratchford and Powell could be very big for us, filling in holes. I don't want to be relying on either of them as first-choice starters, but in terms of filling in holes where we've got a week or two of injury, both of them could be very key during the year.
What about this Max Wood? Can he break in?
Well, he's won his contract, hasn't he? So we'll see. I've only seen the highlights from last week, really, of him.
Okay. My other two on the watch list. So I've got King, Musgrove, and Drinkwater. And my other two are our two second row forwards. I want to see more from Curry. Was it a case he's just not been used in the way that we've set up over the last few years? But he needs to get his hands on the ball more, do a bit more grafting. And then Fitzgibbon again. Just don't know what we're getting there. So they're my five that I think are the ones that kind of need to see where they're going. Wait and see.
I think you've picked five real key players there, because of all of them turn into, shall we say, 8 out of 10 performers, that will really boost our overall team effort. But if two or three of them are only at 6 out of 10 level, that's a big hole in our team, isn't it?
Yep. The poll we put out to see who we think Warrington's best centre will be in 2024, 268 votes. The winner was Connor Wrench on 36.6%, closely followed by Toby King on 34%, Roderick Rucktie on 27.6%. Ratchford only got 1.9% of the vote. So it would be nice to see Wrench. It does seem to divide everything. There's a lot of people that aren't that keen on Wrench. I like Wrench. I like his pace. I like what he's about. I like pacey.
He's never really had that place where he's been, you know, he's in that place. He's always come into the team, gone out of the team, whether it be injury or something that has happened. So,
yeah.
A bit of consistency is needed, I reckon, before you can make your mind up.
Well, maybe it works a bit better for him now that Ty's injured. He gets the first five or six games. See what happens. The Catalans side, they've lost Tompkins. Tompkins has gone. There's a fair few that they've let go. But they've brought in a few as well. They brought in the main ones. They brought in a Tarek Sims from Melbourne Storm, Jaden Nikarima from the Melbourne Storm, Bailey Sirinen from the New Zealand Warriors. So they've picked up some good assets there. Of course, there's always that attraction of getting some sun on your back. I think quite a lot of the Aussie boys like to get over to the south of France. It's a tough call, isn't it? It's going to be a tough call. Looking at the betting odds, London are 125-1, Salford 66-1. They share the betting with Castleford also at 66. Hull 22-1, Huddersfield 20-1, Lee 14-1, Hull KR 12-1, Catalans 10-1, Wyre sitting fourth place at 8-1, Leeds 7-1, Saints 11-4, and Wigan 2-1 favourites. Okay, this is it, boys. I want two predictions from you. You may have heard at the start of this podcast, amazingly, how close Dennis and I were to predicting last year.
Thank you. It was amazing. That was absolutely amazing.
We had a few emails on this, Dennis, but I think the first one that came in was from Brenda Hamlet. Brenda Hamlet wrote in and said, "Boys, you need to go back and listen to your last episode in 2022 because, as always, Mr. London and Mr. Wearwell, you got it absolutely spot on. Is that third member of your podcast going on about?" She wrote. So,
well, right. Maybe we should hear from Sam first, really, then, because you know he didn't get it right last year.
I tell you what, we'll do Catalan all right. First, and then we'll do the prediction for 2024. So, Sam, give me Catalans first.
I think we'll lose narrowly in Catalan, 22-16.
Wow, that close. Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
I think we'll lose. I just think it's a tough game. In fact, that must be the toughest game we've had for a few years, or the first match out, and travelling to all the travel and everything, disruption. I think, I don't think we'll do very well. They'll be well settled, ready for the season. It's a bit of a disruption for us. So, yeah, I think we'll lose by a bit as well. 16 points.
Yeah, I'm the same as Dennis. I think 32-16. I don't think we're going to get too close. Still worried we're a prop short. Still worried we're a scrum half short. So, wait and see. As for the prediction for the year, Wigan, Saints, Leeds, Catalans, all above us. Is there another team there that can possibly then pip us for fifth spot? Not sure. I mean, not surprised. We might actually venture into the transfer market this year, Sam. We've got a little bit of cash up our sleeve. That may change things.
It might mid-season.
Yeah. So I'll go fifth based on the premise that we will bring someone in of some four that could actually help us along the way. So I'll go fifth this year. Can't see any better than that.
Just write that Sam. Down, Sam. Write it down.
You mean in case of some very careful re-records and edits?
How dare you?
I think Wigan and Saints will be clear. I think Wigan and Saints will be clear. I think on any given day, you'll be able to throw a blanket over Leeds, Wyre, Catalans, Hull KR and Lee. I think I doubt we'll be at the top of that little group. You hope we will, but I don't think we will. So fourth or fifth, just like you said, similar to what you've said there, Rob.
Orange alert.
Caviar detected.
Orange alert. Orange alert.
So you're going for 4.5?
I'll go for fourth then. I'll be positive. Fourth. I'll go for fourth.
Oh, fourth. I'll make a note of that. He's fucked up again, honey, Rob.
Yeah. I think realistically five, but I'm being positive.
Fourth. Embarrassing. Yeah, embarrassing. Don't worry, Sam. We'll have you saying that's first or second by the end of this podcast. Anyway, I think I've got fifth. I always look at Leeds, though, and I think, I wonder where he's not had a particularly good time there, coach, has he? Rowan Smith. And I think if he gets a bit of a bad run, he's going to be under the cosh for his job.
Yeah.
And then that will just mess their season up. So Leeds could just drop out, which would help us. But I do think, you know, even forget our coach, you know, the players that we have on our books are really a top five club. And, you know, we'll be looking towards the coach if it's not the five. I think what we should ask ourselves is where do we see the success position for Sam Burgess? I think he'll say it's a success if he's fourth or above. If it's fifth, he'll get away with it. If it's sixth, he'll be like, oh, have we done the right thing? So, Rob, what do you think? Oh, Sam, yeah, you're eager. Go for it, Sam.
Well, I'd say a boring way of looking at it, or an analytical way of looking at it, would say throughout Super League, our best coaches, even our best coaches, have only had a 60% win rate, haven't they? Win 6 out of 10 games. So if he's at 60% win rate, then he's doing something right. That's what, that'd be 17 wins in the season.
Is that including fandom?
I would set his KPI at, I would sit him down and I'd say, Sam, your league position needs to be less than the amount of driving offences you're going to incur in this.
How many was it? It's 15. So he's only going to be just.
I reckon he's up for at least 3 driving offences in the next 12 months. So if it's 3 driving offences, he's got to be.
So does that mean 9 points? He'll be on 9 points with 3 driving offences. Is that the way you're looking at it?
Is that? Do they still do that one on Chester Road? Is that always on that speed cam? My Auntie Rita got done on Chester Road. The poor love had never driven over 25 miles an hour. Unbelievable. Okay, that's it. We'll be back in a couple of weeks after Mr. Sankey and I meet up for our dirty weekend in Sydney. So until then, it's a goodbye from Sam.
All the best.
A so long from Dennis.
Be seeing you.
And a see you later from me. You've been listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say?
Right, lads. What colour mouth guard do you want?
Disgusting. Absolutely disgusting.